We're back on the Rational Revolution with my friend and yours, Carlton Huffman. If you like what you heard and you want to share it with your friends, number one, you should do that. Head over to all the social media pages where we are there. Like Civic Media, subscribe, do all that stuff. Download our podcast, which is available, civicmedia.us, and text us too. I love hearing what you guys have to say. It is a lot of fun. And let's hear more of what Carlton has to say. We were talking about the Iran attack and all of that, and it was interesting to hear all of the fallout. So if you missed that, that is definitely worth a listen. But we're going to talk now. We're going to shift gears a little bit to this one big, beautiful bill that they're working on. I just got a news alert that said how, in part, one of the things that they're going to see in this stupid, big, beautiful bill is going to transfer wealth from young Americans to older Americans. As a younger American, I don't like that very much. But what is this going to do of all the things that it's going to do?
So the original purpose of the bill was to start off with two things. That was to extend the 2017 Trump tax cuts and make them permanent, and also raise the debt ceiling, which the last Congress did at the end of the Biden administration. But the biggest thing to do, the Republicans realized, is that with such a narrow majority in the House and a somewhat more comfortable margin in the Senate, that if they were going to get everything done, they needed to do what they always criticize Democrats for doing, which is cram everything into all one big bill. And they decided we're going to have immigration policy thrown in there to expand the ICE detention centers, to fund ICE. Thing about the Homeland Security budget is they have basically blown through most of it already this year for what was previously allocated, because they are so bent on deporting people at the fast rate that Stephen Miller is demanding. But also, too, they're wanting to codify the DOGE cuts that Elon set into place. And to pay for all of that, which I shouldn't even say it doesn't pay for all of it, but to fund most of that, they were going to take almost $500 billion out of Medicaid, up to $800 billion.
I thought they weren't going to cut Medicaid.
They keep saying that, but it's one of those things that just because they say it a million times does not make it true.
Weird.
And you had my senator down here in North Carolina, Tom Tillis, saying that.
Who you personally know. I mean, you know him very, very well.
Yeah. I mean, he's been very vocal in saying it, that if we were to enact these Medicaid cuts, almost 500,000 North Carolinians would lose their health care. And it would be a similar thing for all these other states around the country that have expanded Medicaid under the provisions of Obamacare. And this is something that would not affect Wisconsinites quite so much, because Wisconsin remains one of the last states to not expand Medicaid. But for all these rural hospitals, for retirement homes, so much of it is paid for with Medicaid dollars. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans, to fund a tax cut that does primarily benefit the wealthiest people in this country and blows up the deficit at the same time, are willing to yank the rug out from under these vulnerable seniors and from vulnerable Americans in rural areas where you do not have great health care options or availability.
Well, and I think, you know, here in Wisconsin, if we want to know, you know, yeah, we have not expanded Medicaid, and what does that do? We have seen huge health systems pull away from rural areas because of this. And so, you know, the people that are in rural areas that might be a little bit not as affluent as the cities, they are seeing a huge reduction in the quality of their care. So that's, I mean, yeah, it's terrible.
And someone who used to vacation up north, I would go up there to Forest County, and we would stay at a place just outside of Nashville, Wisconsin. The nearest hospital was 45 minutes to an hour away.
Right.
And we did have health incidents that occurred whenever I was up there. And imagine if that hospital in Crandon were to close.
Yeah.
And that is what will happen to a lot of hospitals around the country if you pull that much out of Medicaid, because these places are not structured to survive while servicing a clientele that is mostly more rural, more spread out, and is not going to have the kind of money flowing through those hospitals that you would expect in a place like Milwaukee or Madison or Green Bay. So that's just part of what would happen with this big, beautiful bill. But let's also talk about the fact that the United States credit rating was already downgraded early this year, which makes the debt that much more. We are spending more money on our debt service and just the interest on the debt than we do on national defense. The only big ticket items that we spend more on are Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And if you take more money and you increase the debt, it's only going to get that much more expensive and start crowding out all the other stuff that we want to do and need to do to take care of Americans.
So this one big, beautiful disaster, what are the chances that it does pass?
I would say that it's I'd say 60-40 that it's going to pass right now. For different reasons, we can compliment Ron Johnson, even though he wants to make even more dramatic cuts than is in this big, beautiful bill. But he's saying that he is not at this moment on board with the bill. You have Senator Tom Tillis here in North Carolina, who is leery of the Medicaid cuts. You have Josh Hawley also for the same reason.
Which is so crazy.
Lisa Murkowski, and Susan Collins up in Maine, they are all holding out right now. And there are probably a few more hesitant folks that are just not wanting to have the president come after them right now at this point. But he is back from the NATO summit today. He is going to be gathering people in the White House. He wants this thing passed by this weekend.
Oh, he wants it passed by this weekend. Really? I didn't realize that.
The goal is to have it on his desk by the 4th of July.
Oh,
I am
God.
Very skeptical of that timeline, because you're going to already have several House Republicans who, when the Senate sends this bill back over to the House side, it has changed a lot in terms of what they were able to do to just win by one vote last time. Mm-hmm. Now, if Democrats could quit passing away while in office, because they people who are 70 plus and in questionable health, if we could just get Democrats to not have that circumstance happen to them, there is a chance in the House side this thing could fall apart, because the Republicans in vulnerable districts are not willing to walk the plank on this one.
Well, and I think that's interesting. You know, we're talking with Carlton Huffman, former Republican strategist, with vulnerable districts, and I mean, this is a terrible thing for Americans, like across the board. You know,
I mean, we will feel the consequences as interest rates go up, and you're going to see it when you try to buy a house, when you try to buy a car. You are going to see it. I mean, if Congress also abdicates its tariff authority, that's something else that's in this bill, which basically cedes Congress over to Trump. And he can just go through these tariffs whenever he wants, for whatever reason he wants. And we're already suffering the consequences of it with higher prices at the grocery store and on automobiles and other items.
It's interesting where, you know, like in Wisconsin, where Republicans, they gave all of this power to Scott Walker when he was governor. And then in the lame duck session, when Walker was voted out of office, then Robin Voss found his courage, or his courage, or his, whatever, but moral compass. He found his moral compass and said, you know, maybe the governor has too much power, you know? And so, like, Congress with this bill, from, you know, taxation policy to tariff policy, they're going to give all of this power to the executive and realize that, yo, he's got 3.5 years left. And he can't do a third term. Well, he can't do a third term. So then what happens when a Democrat gets elected and they have the same power?
That's the thing. And I mean, as someone who was here for whenever Robin Voss did that, I've also lived through it here in North Carolina, whenever Roy Cooper was elected governor in 2016. And then this last year, when Josh Stein was elected governor, the Republicans in the legislature took powers away from the governor's offices and spread them around state government, conveniently to elected officials who also happened to be Republican. Right. So Congress in this case is playing with a dangerous game. And Democrats up to this point, we saw it with Joe Biden. There were things that we could nitpick and disagree with, but he did not exert executive power forcefully in a way like we are seeing Donald Trump do, especially whenever it comes to just plain out usurping and ignoring Congress. We've seen it back to the Iran situation.
Yeah.
Congress has been requesting briefings on the strikes and on the effects of those strikes, and Trump is withholding the intelligence because we can't trust the Democrats to keep that from leaking to the media.
Well, they just said it this week that he plans on limiting, like, all of the intelligence that they give to Congress. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah, and it's just, it is up to the Republicans to decide, okay, are we going to be a punching bag for this guy for all this time when basically the authority that we have always had is now getting taken away? And if you think that you can trust Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth to be the ones to make national security decisions without oversight, we got lucky with this strike on Iran. We still have 3.5 years in an ever increasingly dangerous world. And if Congress is not willing to stand up for itself, Americans will see the consequences down the line. I can remember the last time Trump was in office, the first 3 years seemed fine and everybody seemed like they were happy with it. But then that last year, the wheels fell off in catastrophic fashion with COVID. And I predict somewhere down the line, it might not be next year or this year, but we will see consequences if Trump is allowed to keep doing this.
I said this, we talked about my doctor's appointment. I said this to them that, you know, it was interesting. Last time around with the Trump administration, he had competent people at Secretary of State and at, you know, like so one of the best people. He doesn't care about the best people now. He doesn't care. He wants people that don't give him guardrails. So he's not going to make those mistakes again where he's going to have Fox News hosts who, you know, grovel at his feet to be the Secretary of Defense. He's not going to make those mistakes again.
No, unfortunately not. I mean, he wanted somebody to salute, like when he wanted Mike Pence to overturn the election.
Yeah.
His gripe against Mike Pence was that he did not violate the Constitution for Donald Trump. And so Congress with this bill, if they decide to do it, then they are basically ceding power. You're going to blow up the debt and deficit, which I thought Republicans, we used to care about. We definitely complained about Biden spending as much money as he did and Obama spending as much money as he did. But now we're going to sit here and turn around and let America's debt become unsustainable at a time when we're starting to actually feel real consequences from it. And we're also going to sit here and let the executive do whatever it wants when it comes to trade policy. And also, let's just throw money at Homeland Security because we want to deport people standing at street corners or at Home Depot.
That's so wrong. You know, and that's the whole thing that Elon was supposed to be doing, was taking care of the national debt and the deficit, and it didn't.
You mean we didn't get rid of $2 trillion like you promised? I mean, it actually, the Doge cuts actually cost more money than he actually was able to shred because they had to go back and rehire people. They had to go back and reverse a lot of those cuts. And so basically we got a big show which wrecked a lot of good work like PEPFAR and USAID. But now we're basically spending more money to fix the damage from that, and we're going to be spending a whole lot more if this bill passes this next week.
Well, and we haven't even gotten into the fact that we're probably going to bear a lot of lawsuits with all the stuff that they tried to do with employees and all of that kind of stuff. You know, so yeah, it's a huge mess, but I really appreciate Carlton Huffman hanging out with us. We got about 30 seconds left. What are the next 6 months going to look like? Super fast.
All I can say is that I'm looking forward to this July 4th being able to celebrate it as a free American. We'll see whether we can keep that Republicanism. I do predict next year as we head into the midterms that Republicans are going to face.
So buckle up, he says. Carlton Huffman, thank you so much for your time here on the Rational Revolution. Stick around for my thoughts right after this. We are